scripture that just recently came to me. And whenever we let God speak to us, it's such a wonderful thing. And the song you just sang, Mr. Leonard, is such a wonderful song. Because, see, when God speaks to you, folks, it's truly a blessing. And it truly points us back to the cross. And this is why this verse, to me, really speaks to me. Because, like I said, it just came to me a few weeks ago. And many of you today know this verse. It's Romans 11:36. And it says, "For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be glory forever. Amen." And folks, what this is telling me, and it really speaks to my heart, all supernatural from heaven comes from Him. Through Him, which is Jesus Christ within us. That's a special relationship. That's a special bond. Through Him, Him in us. And all things goes back to Him to give God the glory. Because that manifestation that's in us, we are built to glorify God. Amen.
Thank you, Jimmy. Well, good morning again, church. Oh, it's good to see y'all. Me and Miss Shirley were talking, and Shirley and I were talking earlier, and we both said, we just love Sunday. It's such a good day to be with you, church. So, God is good. Amen? Amen. If you have your Bible, I invite you to get that out. Open it up to the book of Ecclesiastes. I know it's one of your favorites. Probably read it every day. Well, every Sunday you're going to read it for the next season in your life. So just know that. And as you do that, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we thank You for being a good, kind, gracious, everlasting God. We know that from You are all things, that through You all things happen, and to You is all the glory. So Lord, we pray this morning, open our eyes. Open our eyes to understand Your Word. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, do we have any young folks here today? Jazz, put your hand out. Now, this is the Sunday that our families are all together, so I am going to tell you, encourage you, it's going to be a little bit louder in here. It's the first Sunday of the month. That's a good thing, right, church? That's a good thing. We've got families. We've got families worshiping the Lord together. So, young folks, I have a couple of questions for you that I need your help on this morning. How many of you in, we'll just go in 6th grade or under. How many of you have been to a Mardi Gras parade? Let me see your hand. Been to a Mardi Gras parade. All right, all of your parents are in trouble. No, I'm just kidding. This is good. All right, so let me see your hands. Let me see your hands. Been to a Mardi Gras parade. Okay. What happens at a Mardi Gras parade? What do they do at the Mardi Gras parade? What happens? Y'all tell me. Y'all can talk. It's your time to talk. They throw beads. Very good. All right? They have people marching, playing instruments. They have music, probably. And they're throwing. See, all of y'all know Mardi Gras parade is because they throw beads. Now, here's my question. How many of you are wearing some of those beads today? Are you wearing some today? Can I see them? Maybe not. Anybody else wearing some today? All right. Now, I'm going to talk to your parents for a minute. Mom and Dad, you don't have to answer out loud, but what do you do once you get home with all of those beads? You just think about that this morning, because our message is going to have to do with what we do with what we put so much effort into, and then what do we do with what we get. If you have your Bibles, again, Ecclesiastes, the scripture will be on the screen behind me, but I'd love for you to take your Bible, whether it's yours or the one in front of you, the red one, and grab it and open to Ecclesiastes, because seeing the God's Word and holding it is good for us. this morning we talk about Ecclesiastes, and the main theme that we're going to be looking at this morning is, what's the point? What is the point of life? What's the purpose? If you go to a Mardi Gras parade, young ones, y'all can help me out. What's the point when you go to the Mardi Gras parade? To do what? To get some beads, right? Well, adults, I have the question for you. Imagine your life as a grand Mardi Gras parade. What's the point? Truly, what is the point of your life? Why are you living? Why are you existing? What are you doing with your days, with your hours, with your minutes? What are you doing? Joseph Campbell answered that question. He said this, life has no meaning. Each of us have meaning. And we bring meaning to life. It is a waste to be asking the question when you are the answer. The philosopher Joseph Campbell, along with Confucius, John Locke, Socrates, Aristotle, Richard Dawkins, Karl Marx, and the like, have all asked themselves this question. What's the point? What's the meaning? And these other guys have answered the same question in the same way, in a similar way to Joseph Campbell. The meaning is you. And in this meaning, what we see around the world is a pursuit of self-fulfillment. It is a pursuit of find whatever you can to make you, help me out church, happy. Find whatever you can to make you happy. If it's a friendship, turn on your radio to any country station or pop station or whatever station you like, and you will hear songs about how that person is finally going to fulfill my life. Or how that person has ruined my life, if you're listening to country, right? Whatever makes you happy is what life is about. An older man named Solomon put pen to paper or papyrus or whatever it was in his day and began to write an exegesis, if you will, of his life. What does it mean? And we have that book. And this morning, what I will present to you, church, is what we will not find this morning is that we are able to understand the book of Ecclesiastes. We're not going to find that, yes, we'll be able to grasp it so much as we're going to find that the book of Ecclesiastes is going to understand us. And as we read through and study through this book together, I want us, you and I, to look at, yeah, this book really gets me. Without further ado, Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 1. The words of the preacher, the son of David, king of Jerusalem. Now, we're not told explicitly that this is Solomon, but most everyone believes this is Solomon because he's the only one who could have done what he's going to say he does in this book. Solomon, remember the one who prayed for wisdom in governing God's people? Solomon, the one who we thought might lose the throne until his mother came in and David was on his deathbed and said, David, don't you remember? Solomon's supposed to be king. Solomon, a man who gave us the Proverbs, most of them, and said the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom and knowledge, or both. Solomon. The scripture proclaims the wisest man to ever live. Solomon. Hear His words, church. Verse 2. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. All is vanity. If you didn't understand that, here it is in Hebrew. Havel, havel, amor quavolim. Havel, havel, kol havel. Havel, havel, havel. Repetition. Repetition. Havel, vapor. Temporal. Passing. Vanity is the word the ESV uses. Other translations, meaningless. And herein is the key to, for us to understand, one of the keys to understanding this book. What does havel mean? What does vapor, temporal, vanity, what does that mean? And what is Solomon trying to get across to us? I will warn you, when we read Ecclesiastes, it's kind of like hearing a sad song. Especially the first chapter. It sets us up for sadness. It sets us up and lets us down. And he says, vanity of vanities, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Nothing is significant. Nothing is lasting. It is all like a vapor. Last night we went outside, and it was pretty cold last night for Louisiana. And as we walked outside, even this morning when we walked outside on the way to church, the kids loved it. You know what they did? What they do this morning when they got outside? Look, look. Right? And what happened? What came out of your mouth? Magic came out of your mouth. That's what came out of your mouth. It was steam, wasn't it? It was a vapor that came out of your mouth. It was that warm air condensating in that cold air around you and turning to smoke. Did anybody blow smoke this morning? Adults, you can do that too, I know. Now, what happened to that smoke once it stayed for about half a second? It went away, didn't it? This is the idea that vanity, vanity, everything is vanity. Everything is going to be like this smoke from your mouth, this steam from your mouth. It's there and you can see it and it makes you smile. And then it's gone. And you can't get it back. You can't capture it. You can't put it in a jar. You can't keep it. It's there. And then it's gone. Adults, we can understand what that means in our lives, can't we? You get the new car smell, but what happens to it? Hey. You get the new job excitement, and then what happens? You find that new person in life that you really like. Oh, this person's going to make me happy. And then what happens? They call you and say it's over, right? Those things happen. There's great hope because we can see it. And it's right there in front of our face, the vapor. It's there. But then it fades. And our heads hang again and say, you know, I thought it would be different. Today we celebrate one of the biggest sports days in the world. It is what? Super Bowl Sunday. Come join us tonight for our chili cook-off and other things. Super Bowl. Do you know how much money is spent on the Super Bowl? Your jaw would drop. We could end poverty in one Sunday. At least in Louisiana, maybe. So much money is spent. And you know what happens? Guess what happens? 5 o'clock, we'll be here, we'll turn on the game, we'll watch it, and then guess what happens? Monday happens! And it's over! It's just right there! And then it's over. Vanity, he said. This is what Solomon is doing for us. He's setting us up to say, look everybody, it might be good right now. You might be enjoying your phase in life. You might be enjoying your job. You might be enjoying that person. But it's not going to last. Monday morning is coming. It's going to end. It is all simple. It is all vanity. Something you see now, and it passes away. That's what vanity is, right? You look in the mirror, adults, and you go, wow. Is that my forehead? Look at verse 3. What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? Now, I know I'm moving really slowly this morning, but here in these first few verses, there are themes that we must grasp to get the rest of the book. So I'm going to stop and give you one more theme. We've talked about vanity, passing, temporal. We sang today, Everlasting God, to contrast the vanity. Here's another one. Under the sun. What does he say? He says this, what does a man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? The book of Ecclesiastes is going to teach us this phrase, under the sun, and it is something we must understand. Now, how many of you are under the sun this morning? We all are. The idea is that we're all on this earth. We're all at a place under the sun, revolving around the sun. Under the influence of the sun, we cannot escape the sun, if you will. It is nature. And by nature, it is good. God made the sun, and He made the clouds, and He made the sky, and He made all of that for a reason. You think about that. He didn't just put us in heaven, did He? He put us in this earth under the sun. What does Solomon mean by when he says, at all the toil in which he toils under the sun? This phrase is going to be used about 40 times in the book. So we need to understand what it means. Let me give you an illustration. C.S. Lewis said this, if I find in myself desires which nothing else in this world can satisfy, the only logical explanation is that I was made for another world. C.S. Lewis said, there are desires and I find myself not satisfied in this world. And what I conclude by that is, I wasn't made for this world, I was made for another. This world is meant to bring us to something. This world is meant to show us something. And what I believe the Bible teaches is that the sun and the clouds, and as we'll read in just a moment, the rivers and the oceans and the wind, it's all there to teach us that there's something greater. Let's look at verse 4. I think this will help you. A generation goes, and a generation comes, but the earth remains forever. The sun rises, the sun goes down, the sun rises, the sun goes down, the sun rises, the sun goes down, and hastens to the place where it rises again. The wind blows to the north and the south, and it goes around to the north and around to the south and around to the north and around to the south. Around and around goes the wind, and on its circuits the wind returns. And the streams run to the sea, but the sea's not full. To the place where the streams flow, they only flow again. So you've got the sun going round, and you've got the winds going north and south, and you've got the streams flowing down, and the sun going round, and the wind, and the streams, and the... You get it. It is a, if you will, it is a scene. And Tommy Nelson says it's a machine that brings us to the place to understand that things keep going and repeating and happening and going and repeating and happening in order to show us and show you and show I, show me, that there is something there to bring us to the point of Jesus. You see, this world is meant to bring us to the place where we recognize who Jesus is. It crushes us. The sun beats our back. The wind freezes our hands. This world created in a fallen state to bring us to our knees, to bring us down and say, "Oh God, help me." This old world is meant to bring you to Jesus. Let me contrast, if I may, with you the worldview that is secular, which we've talked about before, the secular humanistic way, the man-centered way of thinking, up against the Christ-centered Christian way of thinking. Many Christians try as close as they can to blend the two, but friends, I want to tell you, they are very different. They're very different. This worldview calls us to find our fulfillment in everything and anything but Jesus Christ. Our culture affirms things that are very different. Crazy styles, crazy activities, crazy identities, crazy personas, crazy things that you just want to turn away from. Everything but be Christian and holy. This world tells you if you find the right husband, if you find the right friend, if you find the right relationship, or if you reconcile with your dad, everything's going to be okay. You don't need Jesus. This world will tell you that the right substance at the right time in the right proportion, the right amount of drink or food or candy is going to make you happy. But Jesus won't. He'll just give you rules. The world will tell you if you can escape from reality and find something where you can just numb yourself for a while, then you'll be okay. And the world and Jesus and God's Word will tell you if you can only find the true reality is when you'll find your joy. You see, this worldview, worldly view, is filled with all of the things of this world. But they'll never satisfy. Until you find yourself looking at the things of the world and going, those are good, many of them, and I enjoy them, but they're not Jesus. I can list some things of this machine to you. And many of you have experienced them firsthand. Death. Sickness. Disease. natural disaster. These things in this world that weigh heavy and heavy and heavy upon us, but they never satisfy. In 1969, man walked on the moon. But you don't hear much about that anymore. It was the race to the moon, wasn't it? USA versus USSR. Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin stepped on the moon. We don't care anymore. Because the things of this world cannot satisfy. It is vanity. It is passing. It is short-lived. Verse 8. All of these things, this world, this sun, this wind, these rivers, everything of this world, they're all full of weariness. They wear us out. A man cannot bear it, cannot utter it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. We're here. We can't bear it. It wears us out because what we try doesn't satisfy. What has been is what will be. What has been done is what will be done, and there's nothing new under the sun. Is there a thing of which is said, see, this is new? It has been already done in the ages before us. This world wears us out to bring us to the cross. My question for you this morning is, have you been worn out? Have you seen that this world is just a recapitulation of the same thing happening over and over? And if you did, friend, step back and go, what's going on here? And recognize that the Bible gives us an answer to that question. The Bible teaches us there is eternality. There is a God. And He has revealed Himself to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And that while we were in our plight, and while you and I are in sin, there is a Savior there. And I say, see Him on the cross. See Him crucified for your sin. See Him there and say, Father, forgive me. I have bought into this world system. Father, forgive me. I recognize that this world is not my home. And turn away from this old world and come to Jesus. This is the hope of the gospel. Jesus, who died on the cross, was buried, and rose again to give you new life, friend. To give you new life. This is what brings hope to the otherwise machine that just brings us to our knees with no answer and then puts us in the ground 6 feet under. But here is the very Word of God revealed to us to give us death to life. Christ crucified for our sake. Here's the way Isaiah says it. This is Old Testament speaking of New Testament reality. Isaiah chapter 55 says this, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in rich food. Turn your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. Hear that your what? soul. You see, look, y'all, it's about the soul. Christianity is about the soul. It's not about the temporal vain pleasures. It's about the soul. And young people, if you're here this morning, you're hearing me. Understand this. Your life is not about how much you can have or how much fun you can have. Your life is about your soul and finding rest and peace in Jesus Christ. That got one amen, but I think it deserved more than one. Personally, your soul is so important. And turn your ear and come to me here that your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Christian, you hear this verse too. Because like I said, so many Christians try to please themselves with worldliness. Christianity is not how can we blend the two together and make a smoothie. Christianity is how we can know Jesus, know God, love Him, and find our pleasure in Him, not in the machine that's going to crush us. There's a different way of living, friends. There's a different way of living as someone who delights in God and someone who delights in the world. So Christian, I urge you and encourage you, do not be those who are delighted in the world, but be those who are delighted in God. And that doesn't mean we can't enjoy basketball or a taco. Who enjoys a taco anyway, right? Doesn't mean we can't enjoy the things of the world, but that means that we take those things and we say, ah, God, You are good. You gave me basketball. And I want to honor You with it. You gave me a piano. I want to honor You with that. Turn and live. Finally, verse 11. There's no remembrance of former things, nor will there be any remembrance of things later yet to be among those who come after. They walked on the moon. Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin walked on the moon. How many of y'all have thought about that in the last year? What a feat! Breaking through the atmosphere. Defying gravity. Look, it wasn't long before we got on the moon that we couldn't even fly. What a feat! Jesus doesn't satisfy like that. You see, when I came to know the Lord Jesus when I was in seventh grade, gave my life to Him, came before Him and said, Lord, I repent of my sin and I give You my life. Forgive me. Lord, I was a sinful seventh grader. And I was under God's wrath. But I said, Father, forgive me. I turned, and I was 13. I'm not 13 anymore. And I'm thinking about Jesus every day. You see, that's because my soul is satisfied. My deep longing is satisfied. And we just read it in Matthew, in chapter 16, he said this, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, if he walks on the moon and forfeits what, church? No. What shall a man give in return for his soul? So what do we do? Ecclesiastes teaches us. two things. One, this world and its system is all vanity. It's passing. You may enjoy it for a season. If sin weren't fun, people wouldn't be doing it. But it does not give you the lasting soul satisfaction. So friends, be wise. Step back and say, there are two systems before me. There is the world and there is Christ. Come to Jesus. Turn away from worldly satisfaction and come unto Jesus. This is the message of Ecclesiastes. You're not going to find your joy, your satisfaction in the world. You're going to find it in Jesus. So friend, I ask you this morning, if you are not a believer, if you're not a follower of Jesus, and you sought your satisfaction in the world, there's one response you have this morning. And that is this. Jesus, forgive me. Receive me. Forgive me and receive me into your kingdom. Today is the day you can forsake the world that lies and deceives you unto the Savior who will love and keep you. Today's the day. Come to salvation. Christian, if you're here, what does Ecclesiastes teach you? Ecclesiastes teaches you, know this, that your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is eternal. And while we can enjoy this whole world, He will never give us this satisfaction and the soul satisfaction that you crave. Pursue Jesus, Christian, more than you pursue the things of this world. Amen? Next week, Solomon begins his trek to find joy and wisdom and pleasure. Come see how it works out. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come before You thanking You for Your Word. And we thank You for the cross. And that Your solution for Solomon's problem is the Savior, Jesus Christ. So Lord, draw people to Your Son today. And as He's lifted up on that cross, would You draw men unto Him. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Come to our time of response. You respond as you need to. Maybe you respond in praise and say, thank You, God, that my disease is going to pass. Thank You, God, that my life is, things are going to pass away. Thank You, God, that You've given me Jesus to know and love. Maybe you need to come to the Lord and repent and say, Father, forgive me, receive me. Maybe you need to do that this morning. Maybe you need to pray and just say, I need to get things in perspective. However you need to respond, you do that. Let's stand and sing, and let's turn our eyes upon Jesus.
Oh, so are You weary. in the light of His glory.